Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Man, is it summer or what? Whew. Went from corduroy last week, short sleeves today, but it's a beautiful day. We're here today. We're going to start today with 480, and let's stand, please, 480. Father, what a beautiful day you give us today. Thank you, Lord, for the warmer temperatures, the beautiful sunshine, Lord. The growth, Lord, and the trees, the grass, all of it, Lord, the new seasons on us, Lord. Thank you for new life. Thanks for our church, Lord. Our doors are open and we can come here today and gather together. Give each other, Lord, a handshake, a hug, a hi, or whatever, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here and just appreciate each other's company, Lord. Loving up on each other. Thank you, Lord, for this nation we live in, for the many freedoms. Lord, our nation's a mess. But, Lord, I know you're still in control. It's all part of your plan that you're working out, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be able to endure. We know, Lord, with your help, we will be able to. Help us to rely on you always, Lord, for all that we need. And, Lord, our pastor's here today. We're anticipating some time in your word. I just pray, Lord, you would guide him, you would direct him, that the Holy Spirit would have his way with your message today through him, that it might speak to someone here today, Lord. A lot of folks are missing, Lord. I know some folks are traveling. There's still some folks sick. Thank you especially, Lord, for being with Judy, Lord, just helping her out and getting her back here today through the fall that she had. I just pray, Lord, for others, too, that you can heal them up. Be with us now, Lord, as we continue today. Help us, Lord, to remember to just spread some Christian love amongst each other. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 719, please. 719.
Things I would ask him to.
and I shall fancy his blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love of Jesus' face. Into the city I follow, the children's bed, waving a branch of the palm. Tonight, 6 o'clock, is our evening service. Don't forget to come back out for that. Message is the severity of our sin, the solace of salvation. Part 2, personal evangelism, May 16th and the 30th. Women's Bible study, the 9th and 23rd. Wilton Bible study on May 18th. Deacon trustee meeting, the 11th, which is a couple days. Iron sharpens iron, May 20th. Then the L&M baccalaureate service. Pastor's going to be there for that, May 10th. And if you want to go yourself, you sure can. When you copy and there is any kind of color on a page, that printer company will charge us for each sheet, even if there is just a small section that is colored. Don't forget that. Just a money saver for us. Services are as follow: Wednesday prayer and Bible study at 7, Sunday school 9:30, worship service 10:40, Sunday evening service, at 6 o'clock. Pastor's thought of the week: our world is filled with children that have had to grow up fast and adults that haven't grown up at all. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. We have a brief ushers meeting after morning service today. Thank you, Deb. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for getting us here today. Lord, all that you do for us, we have nothing to worry, nothing to fear of, Lord. Thank you for the life you've given us, Lord, for our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, that know him as Savior, Lord. What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit that lives with us inside us. Thank you, Lord, for this time again today for us to consider all that you've done for us. Be with us as we take up this offering, Lord. I pray that you'd be with the gift and the giver. Be with our communion service later as we remember, Lord, what our Savior did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Before Sharon comes up, we've got some kids going to do something for us real quick.
Thank you.
Nice warm day for those get-ups. And Sharon's going to come up now. Thank you.
You know, as we serve the God of all possibilities, we do not need to fear, we just need to have faith. And I appreciate that, Sharon. Today, you never count God out. In fact, really, what you do is you count Him in, in everything, and you'll never be disappointed or sorry if you've done that. Now, our message today and our service this morning is a little different than usual. It's a children's message, but this has some role-playing in it this morning, and we're going to have a word of prayer, but I want to welcome everyone today. We're glad for everyone that's come through the doors. Thankful today that you saw it as an important thing to come and gather with fellow believers and to come and hear the Word of God proclaimed and encourage one another. That's what the church is about, to learn and to grow. And so, as always, I encourage all of us to be missionaries, because we are. We're called and ordered by God to do that and to reach out to those around you. Today, a question I'd like you to consider before I pray, and then we'll start our little skit here this morning, is who is your neighbor and who should you and I be concerned about? So give that some thought. We'll find an answer to that today in our message. Let's go to prayer. We'll take just a few moments again, to steer our hearts toward worship, even though this morning's going to be a little less formal worship than usual. But I believe today, if we'll ask God to open our hearts and to allow Him to be adored and loved today and lifted high, this will be a great day as we gather to rejoice and to proclaim that He is a living Lord and He is a resurrected Savior. So let's have just a few moments of quiet time here as we steer our hearts toward the Lord. Then I'll have a quick pastoral prayer and then introduce our program for today. Father God, we come today before your throne, assembled here on the first day of the week as the called out ones, the ecclesia of God, the church, Lord, those that you have bought with your own blood. And today we come, Lord, on the basis of your allowance of this, your grace and your mercy, and through the intercedence of your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit on our behalf. We pray today, Lord, and thank you for this gathering. Thank you for all that have come through the doors. Lord, we thank you, even amid trials and tribulations, for the joy that we can have in you, that you are the God of all possibilities. Lord, today, as always, we understand that there are many people that are not here, and we understand, Lord, that there are various cares that come about in the life of us humans, in a broken world, and ranging from emotional things, Lord, to genuine illness, to sin, and Lord, the choices that we make. But I'm thankful today, Lord, that there are folks here that have seen fit and seen enough interest, Lord, to come and to publicly honor you today and to again remember your resurrection and what you did for us on Calvary's cross as we look in the communion service here, the memorial service here in a few minutes. Now, Lord, I do pray that you would help those that are afflicted today by whatever reason, whether they be here or not. And, Lord, that you would change us and grow us through this message today. Lord, forgive us, I pray, for those things that we have done called sin. And cleanse us, I pray, Lord. Help us to get the gist of what you want us to have, that the Holy Spirit would have free course today in our lives. And, Lord, that he would bless the preaching. Now, again, Lord, I'm very weak. At all times, Lord, and it's only through your grace and mercy and strength that these words can be proclaimed. I take that as a very serious thing, though, Lord, to present the word. And I pray today you'd be in our midst as we study your scriptures and rejoice in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Our text today is the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. But before we look into all that, we have a little play acting that we want to see happen here today. Now, I don't know if we have enough characters. I may have to call some. We have enough character. Yes, we do, Lonnie. That is for sure. But if you look into this text, there's a scenario that Jesus gave in this parable about a man that was headed from Jerusalem to Jericho. So I need a traveler, and this is our road here from Jerusalem to Jericho. And Jay Don, are you our traveler? Well, let's go back here and do some traveling, okay? Come back with me. We'll facilitate this. And I see someone there that has a is that a baseball bat? Okay, Jay Don, head on down the road here slowly. It's a hot day, you know, and so forth. And as he goes down this road from Jerusalem to Jericho, hold up, you're going too fast. There's going to be some robbers that come along, and I see someone here with a baseball bat. By the way, Craig, your grandmother used a baseball bat on me in a service one time when I used it for an illustration, Mary Lou. Come on, get him. Be gentle, though.
Well, if you stop, I'll give you something every robber would want. Here, brand new package, Skittles free to go.
No. Well, we're having a little fun with this. Go ahead, gently tap. All right, now you're supposed to go down here on this side of the road, Jay Don. Can you do that? Okay. And the robbers are going to escape with the Skittles, but don't take them permanently.
No cash.
Okay. Now, the next thing that we find in that account in Jesus' parable is that a priest comes along. Okay? And so here we have our man that's walking down the road. A priest now comes along the road. And this priest is Emma this morning. And Emma, do you know how this story goes? Okay, then you'll know how to act here. Now, technically, the priest could not even look on him, but he saw him out of the corner of his eye and make a real effort. What did the priest do? Walked to the other side of the road and went right on by. And then next comes a Levite. A Levite is a servant in the temple of the priests and kind of has opportunities there to serve the Lord through things. And so now we have our Levite coming along. And what did the Levite do? The Levite at least looked, but then went right on by. Next we find that a person from Samaria came by. And here comes that person with the donkey. Okay? Now, we know that Samaria was a place that had people that were half Jewish and half Gentile. And they were looked at as very much misfits to the Israelites. By the way, it's implied in this account that this the traveler was a Jew. Okay? So, what did you do, Miss Samaritan? The good Samaritan came and saw his wounds. And he put oil on them, medicine, tried to bind up his wounds. Now, I don't think that this Samaritan's going to be able to load this man that's walking here today onto her donkey. But that's what's recorded. And then, do you remember Elizabeth with an S? What happened that the good Samaritan did? He put him on his donkey. He took him to an inn. And what did he do? He said, "You take care of this man. I can't stay here, but I will pay you for everything that is accounted to him for his care to see him recover." So the key here is what? The good Samaritan had compassion for someone who was in trouble. Okay? And this all fits with Jesus because he has compassion for all of us. And whether we want to admit it today or not, folks, we're in trouble. And we're really in trouble apart from Jesus. Okay, so I'm going to let our actors go ahead and take this back, and they can come back up here if they want, but they've got the gist here, and then we're going to look at this story. Jay Don, do you need assistance genuinely? Okay, here. Okay, thank you to all the actors and everyone that helped with this morning. And there's Jason back there with a baseball bat. Yeah, that was in that too, wasn't it? We'll look at all that. We're going to look at that account briefly this morning. But this morning, and we thank you that there were persons here, young folks, that were willing to participate in this. But folks, let it be known today, this is a real life thing that we can participate in today. And I'm going to be giving you some points here this morning to think about for ourselves, how we would respond in similar situations. The first thing, though, as I mentioned earlier, is I just want to let us know today, because this is what a crackerjack attorney that tried to trip Jesus up came to him with in this text. He wanted to trick Jesus, and so he says, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Every one of us in here have neighbors. Praise God, Kim and I live a half a mile from our closest neighbor. I've told you that before. We still can have little bits of disagreements that can get quite vocal. We don't have someone looking in our windows, at least to the best of my knowledge. It's kind of nice being isolated, and we like that to an extent, but we still have neighbors, the closest being a half mile away. But the fact of the matter is, every one of us has a neighbor that's in this room this morning, whether you have someone right next to you where you live, whatever the case may be. And Dave's shaking his head, "Oh yeah." And what a neighbor is, folks, this is my definition as far as I know. I don't think I've plagiarized this. It's anyone who comes into your sphere of influence. It's anyone that comes into your sphere of influence. You know, I'm amazed at how withdrawn most people are today. They do not want to meet people. That's a very uncomfortable thing. Or to engage someone. And you don't have to beat them over the head with a Bible. But just talk to people. I believe this with all my heart, even right here in Fruitland. Probably not as much in Fruitland. There are people that don't even know the people that live next door to them. Never have gone over to say hello. Really don't want them there, if the truth be known. Don't want to mess with them. You know, one of my things that I've always said, I'd like to move into one of these gated places with Kim in our elderly years, that has all these rules and regulations of what you can do at your house. Woody, you'll like this one. And pull one of the international pickups in under the limb of a tree and pull an engine. You'll get to know your neighbors. But the truth of it is, folks, most people don't want to mess with other people today because you get your hands dirty. But that's not the way Jesus designed it, folks. And that's what he's going to tell you in this parable this morning, among other things that are very important. Now, I want you to consider this before I go into this passage this morning. What would you do, what would I do in the following scenarios? There's 10 scenarios I've just jotted down the other day as I prepared this. And there could be many more. But what would you do? You don't need to answer me, but you need to think about it and answer the Lord. Because many of us is probably would be just like the priest and the Levite. We do our best to stay out of the way. By the way, the priest, in his training and in what he was called for, he could not touch or even look on anything that was unclean. And someone who's bleeding along a road, he couldn't do anything with. But do you think Jesus would have cared if he would have given help to that person? He could have been made clean again, but he was not going to do that. He was legalistically on a path, and he wasn't going to deviate from that. You know, we can look at all those things. By the way, before I go into this, this whole parable talks about Adam, the first man who fell into sin, was left along the road. It talks about the law and the prophets. That's your Levite and your priest. And the Good Samaritan is a picture of Christ and the church and us, the believers. And that's how this all fits together. Here's the scenarios. What would you do in the following scenarios? I'm talking here now with the kids on this one in particular. A friend falls on the swings and is bleeding and hurt. By the way, in America today, I had this written down here earlier. Well, I'll get to that later. But the second one, someone you have never met before is sitting alone and looks lost and confused. Someone you have never met before is sitting alone and looks lost and confused. A vehicle has been alongside the road for 2 hours with a flat tire, and the person is in it, and it's 20 below zero. Number four, an elderly man is lost and confused at Walmart and is crying. Number five, a little boy got separated from his parents at the fair and is hysterical. A teenager has been abused and thrown out of their home. A person with no money has run out of gas. What would you do? What would I do? A person keels over and needs CPR. A Muslim clergyman has been beaten by those that oppose him and is badly injured. What would you do? And lastly, a person whose soul needs Jesus is at your very disposal, or may need Jesus. What will you and I do? Well, folks, the answer to that, sadly, increasingly, is that the majority of Americans, including many Christians, increasingly would avoid many, if not all, of these scenarios. Do you believe me on that? If you don't believe it, look in your own heart. They would avoid all of those scenarios. People either don't care or don't want to be involved. We could end the message right there, couldn't we? Compassion and care is a biblical mandate given to us by God and displayed by Him through His Son, Jesus. If you're rescued by Jesus, if you've been saved here today and had your sins forgiven and have been born again into His family and have a new birth, let me tell you something, folks. Jesus had compassion on you because you needed it. How dare we not have compassion on others? The fact of the matter is, though, we live in a day that is increasingly one where people will do like the priest and the Levite, walk away rather than get involved. I might get sued. So what? You don't think you've got a good attorney in heaven? So what? But remember this as we go into this text today, These scenarios could be you or have been you or those that you love. What deep inside us stops us from helping or not helping in these scenarios? That's the thing we need to get a hold of and wrap our heads around today. What stops us? Well, let's take a look at the text here today. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to begin today with verse 29. And he willing to justify himself. This is a lawyer, again, that we're talking about. By the way, I'm not against lawyers. I'm against crooked lawyers, but not in the sense of them needing the Lord. Interestingly, I talked to two lawyers this week about some things with the Moscow Church. And one guy had a few things to say, and I said, well, I've got an attorney that's above both of you guys. Someday I'll share private with you about that, but Jesus. But he being willing to justify himself, that's an attorney, a lawyer here, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Smart guy. And Jesus answered and said, and this parable says this, it's whoever you encounter. Again, my definition, whoever comes into your sphere of influence is your neighbor. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. We left that out today, by the way. And wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Sounds like Chicago or many other areas today in our world. What's that, Kenny? Do you? That's right, yeah. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. By the way, the Bible does talk about that. God knows supremely what goes on in all things. He has everything under his control. But in our side of this, as we look at it, there are things that happen by chance. But we also know that God is in control of all those things. But for every day is random. We don't know what's going to happen to us. Jesus does, but we don't. And so here we have this guy that's traveling. We don't know anything more about him, what he was doing. You could bring a lot of things to mind here, but I would have to say it's like J. Don and the Skittles. This guy probably was known to be a businessman or a salesperson or someone that was carrying what? Or had at least the idea that he might have had something that some of the underprivileged folks needed. Did you get what I was saying there? And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So the priest would have been holy, and he should not become unclean, but yet I like to think about the time that Jesus ate on the Sabbath out of the wheat field and plucked the grains for he and the disciples. There are times when we can violate some of the orders that the Lord has for us. The priest could have become made holy again through a process that was listed in the law, but he used that as a what? An excuse not to render aid to this gentleman. He saw him, and I believe he saw him out of the corner of his eye, because, you know, if you're truly involved in something that where you may observe unholiness, in this case, this guy that's bleeding along the side of the road and in bad shape, he probably saw him out of the corner of his eye, and then he immediately did what? He looked to the other side of the road, and he never looked back. It's kind of like when you tow farm equipment. Some of you are not going to get what I'm saying here, but when you tow a piece of farm equipment, the old saying is, never look back. I've had a few things happen to me in my career. I saw an auger one time in a rearview mirror come unhooked from the truck and went right across the ditch. I went back and it was not damaged, but that's the old cliche, never look back when you're towing machinery, in case it gets away. But notice here, he left him half dead and went to the other side. He purposely avoided someone in need of compassionate help. Have you ever done it? You don't have to answer me. You don't shake your head or anything. But God knows and you know. And probably the truth is in this room, every one of us, maybe not the little ones, I don't know, but probably every one of us have done that in a sense. I don't have time for it today. I don't want to get involved. Kim, we went up the bypass the other night, and there was a tractor pulling a car, and they were having trouble on the hill. Maybe some of you saw it. And I said, well, Kim, I should stop. But there are several people there, and they're pulling it. I'm gonna defer this time. But if you know there's a need and there's no one around, it's your thing. Well, 32, and likewise a Levite. They were the temple servants that came under the priests. When he was at the place, he came and looked on him at least and passed by on the other side. Well, sometimes it's almost worse when you look, isn't it? Because look establishes guilt. And if you've seen something take place and you saw it and you closed your eyes or looked the other way, I think it haunts us. The Holy Spirit brings that to us. But he did the same thing. He didn't want to get involved. He went to the other side of the road as well and carried on with life. At least he looked. But then we come to verse 33 in the good news. But a certain Samaritan, by the way, the Jews hated the Samaritans. Usually when there's hatred, it goes both ways. Right? The Jews hated the Samaritans, and because of that, the Samaritans hated the Jews. And usually they would say what? I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Go to the woman at the well passage in Jesus. You'll see that discriminatory pattern. Folks, we all have discriminatory patterns in our life. I don't care what ethnicity you come from. You can come from rural versus urban. I can get caught up in that. I say, these people in town? And the people in town say, when I'm going down the highway with a piece of machinery, these people on the farm. We all have a bias in us, don't we? And where is that bias from? It comes from Satan, folks. I want to remind us today, there is only one race. It's called the human race. But that's only part of it. We have all kinds of biases over many, many spectrums. But here this Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he did more than take a quick glance and make a decision not to. He saw him and said, I'm going to have compassion on this person that would be one that would very likely persecute me. By the way, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus has found all of us along the road. If he's found you, and if not, admit you're along the road today and let him find you today. You know? But notice, compassion was more than just a feeling here or an emotion. Compassion, when it's truly done, is shown in action. It's more than lip service. It involves cost. Verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds. What's the first thing everyone thinks about today? If we touch blood or bodily fluids, we're at risk of acquiring, then carry your gloves. Carry your rubber gloves. Carry your mask, carry your protective equipment, but don't stop caring about people. God, that's right. We should have sang that today. God will take care of you. By the way, I always tell people I have clean blood. It doesn't hold water. He bound up his wounds, meaning he got involved with his sorrow, with his damage, with his blood. He poured oil and wine, medicine, by the way, folks, disinfectant. The wine, the oil was meant to, again, be a healing treatment for the wounds. That's what they used a lot in those days. And then last of all, he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now, we don't know where this Samaritan was headed that day, but we know this, that at least for a while, he took him to a motel or a hotel, and he spent some time with him trying to help him, right? He invested time. What's the biggest thing today? I don't have time. And it is a problem, isn't it? I'm getting tired of that in my life. I'm tired of the schedules. Yeah. It even happens right here with the church. Time. He brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, in other words, we know that he invested at least the better part of a day and a night in this gentleman. By the way, how much is one day in your life, in my life? Well, actually, there's not that many days as you think in our lives. But every day has a reason when it involves our neighbor. I won't mention any names. I've shared this before, but you know, it's like when Grandma Robinson lived up on 11th Street. You know, in town, everyone's really concerned about the markings of their boundaries. I'm just laughing. I get a little crazy. But, there was a neighbor of Grandma's. Some wood ducks flew in and nested in one of Grandma and Grandpa Robinson's trees up on 11th Street. And this guy got his air rifle. This is back in the 60s. Picked off the wood ducks out of the tree. Well, you know how that can all escalate with neighbors. He had a retaining wall that was somewhat tilted over to Grandma and Grandpa's property. Grandma, I have a little grandma in me, Woodrow. Grandma got fired up, said, well, you need to get your retaining wall done. But the bottom line, they made peace over it before it was too far. But folks, this is what really goes on out here. People killing each other over this kind of stuff. This guy invested the better part, at least, of a day and a night to help this Samaritan, this guy that was beat up on the road, the Good Samaritan. He invested time and money, things that he had. And then verse 35, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. That's a picture of grace, isn't it? We don't know that this man didn't have other means to pay eventually, but at that point he'd been robbed. He had no way to pay for anything. And the Good Samaritan says, here's some money, I'll be back. I'll take care of this. Folks, that's a picture of Christ. When we were destitute on the road, beat up and wounded by our sin, Jesus stepped in. And he said, put that on my account. So, Jesus says here, in 36, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Let's answer that this morning. It was the one that, if you had to vote on the exterior, would be the least likely one that would do anything for a Jew along the road. It was the Samaritan. He didn't look at anything else, but I think what he thought, and I'm going to get to this in just a minute with our last turn on Scripture. He thought, how would I want this to shake out if I were the one on the road beat up and robbed? By the way, I'll read the last verse here, 37. And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then Jesus said unto him, it's not in the text, but he was probably thinking, okay, Mr. Wise Guy Lawyer, go do what you've learned here. And that's the point that he's making and that I want us to get today from this text. Luke 6:31, you don't have to go there, but it's called the Golden Rule. You can read that text around that. The Golden Rule, I believe, is what we ought to get foremost in our mind. Do unto others before they can do it unto you. No. My paraphrase, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What deep inside does stop you and I from helping or not helping in the scenarios that I've given today and many more that happen with our neighbors. Jesus gave us some help with that today in his parable. Hopefully we leave here today with a different perspective on ourselves and on our neighbors, and specifically on those that are lost and apart from Jesus. How dare we take from Jesus and forget those around us of his salvation? But folks, as I said in the beginning of this little message, increasingly America has become all about me, not about Jesus and others. I think I've said enough today, right? We're going to sing a hymn this morning, and I've got to get my bulletin out. I'm a little out of condition here, being not up in the pulpit. But it's a good hymn. Take my life and let it be. 611, as we contemplate now going to our communion service. You know, there might be an opportunity today to get some things set straight. And maybe even pass the communion by. But search our hearts about what we've learned this morning. 611, let's stand if you're able. Then we'll be seated and the deacons will come forward and we'll share the Lord's Supper. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to me. Take my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Last verse. For thee, ever on, all for thee. Please be seated. What a beautiful spring day the Lord has given us today. Further magnifies to us his goodness that's directed toward us. As we think of what took place here, you know, when Jesus went to the cross, there was no rescue there for him as he died bleeding and wounded. Oh, yes, we know how that all takes place in the power of God. Jesus was resurrected on the third day, but he literally died and bore our sins and bled on Calvary's cross. Bring that into this story of the, I don't want to use the word story, this account, this parable that Jesus gave to the Good Samaritan. Jesus was our Good Samaritan, folks. His compassion and his love for us is unfathomable, that he endured being separated from God his Father, because God couldn't look on sin just like the priest, as Jesus bore our sin there on Calvary's cross. That's what this is all about today up here. It's turning our hearts and our thoughts toward Jesus, the one who loves us so, the one who came to our rescue. Today, simply what we're doing here, it's not simple, but we are just having a vivid reminder of Christ's body and blood. The fact that his body bore our sins on Calvary's cross, and the fact that his sinless blood was given to cover or atone for our sins, that when God the Father sees us, he sees the blood of Jesus, his Son, that covers the sin of John, of Lonnie, of Denny, everyone else that's here this morning, if you have brought yourself under the blood of the Lamb of Jesus. So this all fits together, and this is a good thing to contemplate today. Now we know this in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul warns the Corinthian church. He says, don't do this recklessly or unworthily. Obviously, if you've never trusted Christ, this is going to do nothing for you but nourish you a bit with unleavened bread and a glass of juice. But if you have trusted Jesus Christ and you've placed your sins under his blood, but if you've also considered your neighbor Just like we learned here this morning. How do you get along with other believers? How do you get along with unbelievers? What do you have in your heart? Jesus says this. He says, be careful through the hand of the Apostle Paul. It's better today to get yourself set in order with the Lord and with others than to take this. But if you are in fellowship with the Lord, it is not wrong to celebrate this. But what is best is that we be sure that we are truly in fellowship with Him and with others. Otherwise, it's perfectly fine to pass this by. This does not save us, does not get us any closer to heaven. It's not a work. It's a memorial service. It's about Jesus. Well, I've said enough. Brother Denny, would you ask the Lord to bless and cause us to recall His compassion for us in His body as He bore our sin?
And Father, as we come to You again this morning, Lord, we can be so thankful again, Lord, that there's no more sacrifice that Christ, what He did for us, completed for us to not have any more sacrifices. And we can be so thankful, Lord. Again, we thank You for this gathering, the gathering of our hearts, Lord, toward You. And may this be the day, Lord, if our hearts are from You, Lord, that we would draw closer to You, as the Word says. So in saying that, Lord, we can be thankful for Your love and Your compassion of the Samaritan, Lord. May our hearts be changed, Lord. Help us in our wayward thinking, Lord. Again, just bring us closer to You and to remember why we are here this morning, Lord, to remember what You've done for us. Now, Lord, bless our time. Bless each one in Christ's name.
Amen. I'll take the side line.
Sacrifice for remember always to shred just a little piece of your love. Thank you so much for what our Savior did in that cross for us, Lord. The awful beatings before he went, the death on the cross, but Lord, his ultimate resurrection. And while we're here today, remembering what he did for us. Thank you for this time, in Jesus' name.
Sit under the shade tree or sit on the porch swing.